Lauren Beck, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So first off, I'd love to get your reaction to the decision made in Amherst recently to rename Lord Amherst Drive. They're now calling it Ancestral Drive. What did you make of that news?
Oh, well, I thought it was exciting news, particularly for a community in this case who's named after a colonial figure that I think in recent years has been problematized for his activities in the 18th century. So the fact that a town such as Amherst decided to undertake a renaming process, and they did this through several really critical steps, I think, in order to come up with this name that they chose to reaward to a street, it's an example that other communities could consider following.
Now, you have done a lot of work in this area, it's fair to say. You have a book published, Canada's Place Names and How to Change Them. How complicated is that process when communities want to tackle it?
When we're talking about a street name, it's actually rather straightforward, because when it comes to the names that we have within our communities, whether it's a town park or square or building that has a name, or street in this case, communities have pretty much complete jurisdiction over those names. And depending on whether the town or community has a place name policy or not, and many do not, that can pave the way for making change at the level of, say, a town council.
So street names, like, not as challenging. Is that because they are also lower stakes, would you say? Like, people don't have as much invested in them necessarily?
Well, yes and no. I mean, depending on what street you live on, if somebody came along one day and said, you know, Tantramark informed you they were going to change the name of your street, that might be something that, you know, you find a bit unsettling, because you live on a street and maybe you like the name of your street, or you never thought about it too much. But when somebody wants to rename your street, the one where you've lived or grown up all your life, some people may struggle with that sort of name change, mm-hmm. which I think is a broader concern when it comes to changing names that I often hear about.
Yeah. Now, in the case of Amherst, we have Lord Amherst Drive, which they, you know, sort of identified as a problematic name. But of course, the town itself is called Amherst, named after the very same person. Now, Mayor David Kogan did say that they haven't really waded into that territory. They haven't had that discussion about whether there would be any possibility of changing the name of the town. But is that something that happens? Like, how, I guess, you know, how large of a name do people take on and go, you know, try to change?
That's a great question. We do have communities such as Asbestos Quebec, who decided recently to change their name because of the cancer-causing substance asbestos, and they decided to rebrand themselves so that, you know, businesses and new residents would feel more comfortable living there and operating there. In the case of Amherst, it has perhaps sort of a similar challenge for a different reason. And it's not the only community facing that, whether you point to places such as Victoria or Victoriaville. There's lots of places that have names for colonial or figures that we associate with colonization, so queens and kings and so on. So if Amherst, the street, is no longer something that the town of Amherst wanted to have and they went about changing it, the process it could follow to change the town's name would be very interesting to document as well, because the authority over such names, as we know, because Sackville, Pointe-à-Butte, our communities are now called Tantramar, goes through the provincial toponymy office, in this case of Nova Scotia. So it would not be an impossibility. Communities do change their names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess it sort of depends on, yeah, how much public interest there is in that and opposition.
Exactly. And in the case of Tantramar, we can kind of reach to that a bit more easily, because we recently went through the same change process where a committee was struck and consultation with experts was undertaken. But also there was some form of community consultation. And ultimately, the people working on our name coming up with Tantramar were working also with the provincial toponymy office to make sure that the new name was distinct enough, unique enough, so that there's no confusion, and so forth. So a similar process would be undertaken by the town of Amherst with the toponymist of Nova Scotia if they chose to pursue that route. But when it comes to changing a community's name, and keep in mind, in the case of Tantramar, that was sort of imposed upon residents. So we didn't have the same sort of consultative process that you would in the case of Amherst, unless somehow the provincial toponymy office decided to re-examine any colonial name and encourage communities to consider alternatives, which it could do. But I've never heard that happening yet in Canada.
Toponymy itself was a new word for me when Tantramar was forming and they were having to choose a new name. It was a surprise to me to find out that we even had in the province that there was people in charge of that. And it's interesting because I feel like when the criteria came for how to choose the name Tantramar, I think there was limitations that were in place that probably weren't in place years ago. Like naming a town after a person, for example, like in the case of Amherst, is not necessarily, that's sort of frowned upon now, isn't it?
It is. And then there's good reason for that, I think, because as we're finding out with places such as Amherst or Cornwallis, that's another figure whose commemorative material is being reexamined closely by communities across this country. The fact is, when we name places after people, we do so at first to commemorate, their accomplishments or their contributions. But what we've done as a country is that we've handed out place names and street names in places that have no relationship with the people who have been so named. And now, in the case of Amherst, I believe he did do some things locally in this particular region of the country, but others, such as John A. McDonald, for instance, may have no particular connection to the region. So when we use these place names or use their names as commemorative forms of naming, we can sort of get into trouble because we don't see a particular connection between the person and the place that's being named on the one hand, but also when those people are no longer as favored, if it's fair to kind of call it that way, centuries later, then you have this problem where you have a bunch of places named for Cornwallises and for Amherst and so on. So not naming places after people is probably a very safe approach.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, but you at Mount A, you've done work with, I think, one of your classes looking at the names in this region. Can you tell me a bit about that project that you worked on?
Oh, that was a wonderful project. It was a second year course in visual material culture studies called Maps and Empire. And what we did in collaboration with the town of Sackville is we examined all 134 streets in the community of Sackville, and we assessed them for identity related components. So we wanted to understand how many were named for men, people of color, indigenous people, women, and so forth, but also how many names did not relate to people at all and maybe celebrated waterfowl, which is a common theme in some of our names in Sackville. And we found, perhaps not surprisingly, that very few names reflected women, despite the fact that I think something like 54% of the town is and has historically been women, or a figure close to that have been women. So as a result, we decided to do some policy research across the country to understand what a community like Sackville what kind of measures it might wish to take in terms of its future naming program. And the town of Sackville was interested in this in particular because it would like to have names or new subdivisions that then require names. And they wanted to make sure that they don't, I think one of its chief concerns was to make sure it wasn't handing out names that were inappropriate or that might be considered problematic in the future.
Right. So it was more about future names as opposed to looking back and assessing if there was any names that we needed to change.
That's right. And we actually did conclude that while we thought it was problematic that there was such an overrepresentation of white men when it came to places, streets in particular, that were named after people, we did not necessarily recommend running out and changing any names. There were no colonization roads, for instance, in our community. And that's a common street name across the country. So there are none of those sorts of awful sort of names that you wanted to attend to more quickly than maybe others. But we did make recommendations that related to how the town could consider diversifying its approach to naming, which included identifying priority areas for future names that would allow people who are, say, women to see themselves more included in the toponymy around the region.
Okay. And so that was made to, those recommendations were made to the town of Sackville. And I guess we'll see if they end up being, adopted into this new town of Tantramar we're in.
I hope so. I mean, ultimately, Sackville and, as far as I know, Tantramar at the moment do not have a place name policy. And there are many in the community, in larger communities, that we could take as a model. And actually, I'm working on this right now, developing a nationwide understanding of what place name objectives are within communities, whether Toronto or Sackville, in the future, to understand what the priority areas are for communities across the country.
All right. So we've got sort of the national expert right here in Sackville. So we have no excuse for not having an up-to-date current place name policy, I guess.
Well, and that's one of the outcomes of the project. We will have a model policy that we can offer to East Sackville or Tantramar or any other community that they could adapt according to their values and whatnot. And I think that would be an excellent tool for the future, not just for dealing with commemorative names that we no longer like as much, but also to find strategies of making our names reflect more than white men, which is primarily influences the type of names that we have across the country.
Okay, Lauren, is there anything, any angles on this that we should know about that that I haven't asked you about?
Well, I mean, I think that we, in looking at the name change in Amherst, the way they went about that change is really impressive to me. So like the community of St. John, New Brunswick, Amherst has formed a committee that is concerned with inclusion, equality and inclusion. And it has its mandate, I believe, relates to more than just place names. So place names is within its mandate, and it decided to identify names in the community that might need discussion. And that's one of the reasons this place name was able to be changed, is because there was impetus from a specialized committee looking at ways to make the community more attractive and inclusive, which is that broader appeal is important to communities such as Amherst.
Right. Yeah. So it's coming from a place of, it's sort of a wider sort of valued place, not just specifically targeting are all our names correct, but how do we make this as inclusive a town as possible?
Exactly. I mean, if we're thinking strategically about how communities can grow and the sustainability of communities, place names may not seem very important at first blush. But ultimately, if you want to encourage newcomers, for example, to come and establish themselves in your community, it would be great for them to see a piece of themselves already represented within the community, whether in a street name or some other form of representation. And so I think that's the sort of step that Amherst as a community is taking, and it's encouraging and it's important for the province and for that region of the province as well.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Lauren. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Erica. Appreciate it.